You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Yeah, I laughed out loud when I saw what Jake had written in response to my column yesterday. I'll dig into that here in just a moment. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. 710 Sports app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, wherever you get it. Thank you. Appreciate you guys listening. We will replay the new fragrance line commercials from Alain Desjardins coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, so about an hour from now, probably with G. Scott, who's really our fragrance expert, one of the better smelling people I know. We get a text here from the 509. I don't know if there's any truth to this, but this person says, G once stayed a night in our guest bedroom. And it smelled awesome for like 5 days afterwards. My girlfriend could not stop going back to that room.
I was told if your scent lingers, it's too much.
Well, no, it's not. Like, G never feels like it's too much. It's a good smell. I wish he was in the building. I hate that not everybody's in the building right now. Because when he comes in afterwards, the studio kind of freshens this place up a little bit. So, yeah. All right. We'll talk to G coming up at 8 o'clock. Maybe we'll play him some of those new fragrance lines commercials. Anyway, so I had written a column that came out yesterday morning for 710sports.com. You can go read it. And essentially writing about some of these five-point plan ideas that I have for the Seahawks to get their defense in line, which I think really needs to happen this offseason. Like, get it together. You're a Pete Carroll team. You're supposed to have a great defense. Let's get it together, boys. Come on. Like, enough. Stop giving up so many yards. Stop allowing the other team to march down the field so often. Stop letting bad quarterbacks throw for 400 yards on you. Like, that's enough. The Legion of Boom and the rest of that defense is how this thing was built. I'm sick of watching them struggle the way they have. And so, Ken Norton Jr. gets fired, and now a lot of the conversation is about this defense because you're looking for a coordinator. You really want them to get this thing right. But as I started to write about it, like, it's not enough just like, here's my five-point plan. Like, you kind of have to,
strap a little bit more.
Put some fluff around that, right? And so I was like kind of writing about how the Seahawks can get back to a Super Bowl because that's sort of the bigger context of it. And here's five things they can do. Well, Jake reads it, or at least he read the headline for it, and maybe some of the maybe the quick bullet points, and read it as essentially this is all they need to do to get back to the Super Bowl. And so yesterday he kind of got after me and says, okay, now I know, Salk, you're just trying to get me. Nothing about the offensive line and your five-step plan? Can we compromise and make this a six-step plan with an addition? And so I do want to say, no, it was just about the defense. It was not an overall, this is everything you need to do to get back to the promised land. But it did make me start thinking a little bit about the offensive side of the ball, and maybe I've been a little complacent here about the offense, which is funny considering it was the worst unit in 2021 and probably the group we spent more time talking about. But, a few things. One, kind of waiting on Russ, right? What's going to happen? Is he going to, have a desire to play elsewhere? What goes on in the trade market? Maybe that's partially kept us from thinking about what you want to do offensively. Two, so many of the problems last year seem to stem from Russ's injury. So I don't know that we have a real accurate gauge on what the offense was like. And then Shane Waldron showing up for the first time, right? And, it took him a little while to get his feet under him as a play caller. And then also I think I'm kind of assuming that Rashad Penny is back and the run game we saw at the end of the year was real, which maybe isn't a fair assumption, but it's kind of what's in my mind right now. So maybe that's why I've been kind of ignoring the offensive side of the ball and what they need to do there this offseason. Because there really are some good conversations that we can have about the offense. And I'll ask you guys whether you want to text it in 206-421-3776, Mac and Jack's text line. Justin Moore, I'll ask you guys, what changes do they need to make to how this offense operates? Are they personnel or is it more in the schematic zone, right? Because the Waldron conversation is one. They're keeping him, right? They didn't fire him with Ken Norton.
Yeah.
They're not out there looking for somebody else. So that's a vote of confidence for him. I think a recognition that he was in an awful position for most of last year, kind of stuck between Pete and Russ, and as a first-time play caller, kind of looking around and trying to get his bearings. I give him a lot of credit, man. Over the course of the year, the offense got better. He seemed to kind of, ease into it and start to understand all of the things he needed to do. So Waldron's not, you know, he's not going anywhere, at least not this year. And so that's a conversation. What do they need to do schematically to keep growing this thing? I think I agree with Jake. I think everybody does. Obviously, you got to upgrade the offensive line, right? Center position for sure. I don't know how many positions that means on the O-line. I don't think you need five new linemen. Certainly not when I saw you just blowing two teams off the ball in the final 2 weeks of the year. And Arizona, while they were obviously trending in the wrong direction and turned out to be kind of embarrassing.
That's still a real defensive line.
And it had been a very good team over the course of the year. And you beat them up. And Detroit, as bad as they were as a complete team, they weren't that bad against the run. They were top half against the run last year. So, you know, like, I think what you showed at the end of the year, and Penny and all of the yards that he racked up in the final five games, those don't go away, right? But, yeah, there's still improvements that need to be made. And so, clearly, the offensive line upgrade has got to be a part of this. And I know this is maybe, I don't know how people feel about Gerald Everett. I'm looking for something better. It's not that I thought he was bad, but I didn't think he was great. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, but when he was bad, he was really bad.
When he was bad, he was awful.
Yeah, you just, I mean, almost single-handedly lost you the game against the Niners there, too.
If they had lost that game, it would have been, like, as much on his shoulders as any non-quarterback has ever had a game put on his shoulder. I mean, three turnovers that were all his fault. I mean, it was just, like, bizarre. And then, what was the other game where he had, like, just a couple of just ridiculous drops?
Well, he had the drop against the Cardinals at the end.
That's what it was. Yeah, we were just like, dude, what's going on with you? So, I like him. I think he's an intriguing player, and obviously he gets himself open. He's a good pass route runner, et cetera. But I don't know whether I'm, like, married to the idea of Gerald Everett, and certainly not if he wants a raise. And there are some tight ends out there this year. There's Mike Gesicki. There's David Njoku, Zach Ertz, and there's a few more. So, like,
I don't want them to spend on any until they show that they actually want to throw the ball to them. Just stick with Disley, Parkinson, and some random guy if you're not even going to really use them.
And make sure they can block, right? I mean, like, if you're going to be on the Seahawks and as a tight end, you better be able to block and be a part of the running game and be comfortable with all that. Heck, they had some success with George Fant as a tight end. So, yeah, I agree with you. That's another good point. So what do they need to do offensively? We've spent so much time on the defensive side. You know, Waldron continuing to evolve, upgrading the offensive line in some way, almost definitely at center and I don't know where else. And then, all right, see what you want to do with the tight end spot. What else do you want to do offensively?
Well, Pete mentioned that something that Waldron was good about was going back to the things that they used to do, right? He talks about bringing in pieces from the old playbook and not being afraid to use them or implement them in the new system. Where did Russ's rush number go?
Great point.
Wasn't that one of the biggest pieces?
Great point.
Especially when extending drives and you're 3-4 yards back and Russ can scramble to extend that by another couple minutes.
Great point. I mean, the Darrell Bevell. So the Darrell Bevell thing is complicated. Okay, can I kind of step back on Darrell Bevell? Because over time, the subtlety in conversation tends to go away, and all people remember is like the one headline, and they don't remember the rest of the conversation. I was absolutely in favor of moving on from Darrell Bevell for two reasons. One, responsibility and accountability for the final play of the Super Bowl. And two, I didn't like his play calling in game. But, and I was consistent about this when he was here, I think Darrell Bevell was a fantastic designer of offense. I think the offensive scheme that he designed for the characters that he had here and the talent he had here in Seattle at the time, Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Doug Baldwin, etc., was really well done. I think he's a very good designer of scheme, designer of offense, and not a great in-game play caller. Those are two different skills. And I think one of them he was very good at. One of them he was not as good at. I loved the way he incorporated the read option into his scheme, which had never been a part of it before, for him or Pete. But they saw Russ, they saw Marshawn, they saw what these two guys were capable of doing, and they came up with some interesting creative ways to use them, right? So Darrell Bevell, for all of the grief that I have certainly given him and others as well, I think he's a really good designer of offense.
Well, there was some question as the in-game stuff as to how much control Tom Cable had. From what I understand, there was a little bit of a battle there. So I don't know how much you can blame on him, too. The players seem to really think he did a good job.
And you don't want to battle too hard with Tom Cable because there's a decent chance he'll punch you, which he's done to other coaches. So, like, if Darrell Bevell, who by all accounts is a great guy and maybe not the most, violent of football coaches, I could see how maybe he'd back down from some of those. Regardless, the point I was trying to make is, no one was better at taking advantage of all of Russ's skill set than Darrell Bevell was. And that has gone away under Schottenheimer and even under Waldron. So, you know, what needs to be done there. Is it still possible? Does Russ still have some of those abilities?
But that's
or
the
has
other
that
question,
ship
right?
sailed? Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, he's shown it a couple times. He had that crazy run against the Niners early in the season where yep. he's running like 19 miles an hour. It's like, well, it's still there. Maybe okay. not, maybe not, maybe at a heavily reduced rate, but it's in the tank.
So let's put that one on the list of things that you'd like to see kind of figured out for this offense is how do you take advantage of Russ's legs a little bit more often?
I think I have one that kind of feeds into that because it did seem like they didn't come on till the end. DK said that it was a year of learning a new system and it took time to figure everything out. I would like to see the starters play in preseason, especially along the offensive line. I don't want to hear that you're working it out as you go. Obviously, it's a new system. You're trying to, like, Shane Waldron and Russell Wilson seem to still be trying to figure each other out.
Yeah.
Why not take the time
take
to,
the time
not was, every game, yes. but at least a little bit, and be there in training camp, OTAs.
There was some time actually allotted to that they decided not to really, you know, take any advantage of. Ethan Posick talked about that. I'm looking to see if we have the sound. I know we have it somewhere. He talked, I think he was talking more about OTAs and stuff, but I think you're onto something there. Posick was talking about it just after the season and essentially said something similar to what you just mentioned.
You know, I think last year, looking back on it, you know, we probably should have been here for the OTAs. I think, you know, we need to do OTAs to get ready for this next season. But like you said, you know, the learning curve, everything, so... You know, I feel like we just roll and just build on our strengths.
All right, a couple of things. One, I don't know whether Posick's going to be here for next year. That's a side conversation. But please save that sound. And when we get to OTAs, which are optional next year, and I take account of who's not there and get upset about it, and the millions of listeners out there, all right, all six of you, decide to give me all the, it's optional. It's optional. You have to be there. It's optional. Do you go every time it's optional? Just optional, Mike. Why do you get so mad about optional? Just optional, optional, optional.
Okay.
Well, that's a clip we're cutting later.
Happens every year. And
yeah,
I say this,
I
and I say
it
the
much
same
when it was
thing.
Back in like the Michael Bennett days when that team was clicking on all cylinders. These guys, multiple guys, admitted that this year they had so much learning to do and they were doing it as the season went along.
Who,
so why weren't you there
who
learning
do you
at
think
the beginning?
They learned that from? The Michael Bennetts and everybody else who didn't show up to their optional
those
workouts.
Guys knew each other and didn't have communication issues.
Show up. That is an opportunity for you to get better. I want my team to do everything they can to get better. And sometimes you don't show up for those. Sometimes you've got to go somewhere else for those moments. You can get mad at me all you want. But when Ethan Posick says after the year is done, yeah, you know what? We skipped OTAs. They were optional. Kind of would have been nice if we'd gone. Maybe we would have learned the offense earlier than week 11. Can I just let that hang out there for, like, ever? I will be playing that. Save that sound, earmark it, whatever you do. Do we have, like, a Dewey Decimal System for all the sound that we have here?
It's not the greatest sound itself. But
well,
he's not that's what you need to hear.
He's not, like, the most passionate, exciting, kind of fun guy. But honestly, that is more, I agree. And generally, I've kind of been on the other side of that because I do worry a lot about injuries to those guys in games and, like, I don't like when you start taking unnecessary chances. Like, geez, get them out. But I think you saw this year very clearly that without the opportunity to play your starters, you didn't have the kind of chemistry that you needed. So, yeah, and I think Pete maybe even agreed with that because Pete was always uncomfortable with this. Pete loves to get those guys out there
playing.
Yeah,
he mentioned that they did pretty much everything that they could remotely the last couple of years because of COVID. And they did, you know, they did have some of the fewest positive COVID situations in the league, but it may have hurt in the long run.
It's optional. It's optional. Mike, it's optional. I don't know why you're mad. Why do they have to go if it's optional? They don't have to. They don't have to go if it's optional. But you know what? I get to criticize. That's your option not to go, and it's my option to say you should be there even though you don't have to be. That if we're going to compliment people, right? You hear it every year in football, right? This guy worked his butt off. He was the first one in and the last to leave, and he got the best parking space because he was at work every day and in the locker room and in the training room and in the gym and everything he was supposed to do, right? We praise those guys all the time. Don't you want all of your teammates and everyone on the team you root for to be like that? Why would you be okay and, like, enjoy the fact, like, oh, no, they just need a little vacay? Now, I know they need some vacation. I'm not saying they should be there 365 days a year. Of course they should. That's part of being a football. You got to go rest your body and all that. But the league is only giving you so much time to come together and do OTAs and practice and work together. Go take advantage of that, especially if you've got a new coach. My God. 7:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
It's usually the best weekend of NFL games every year. Divisional round Saturday and Sunday. It's coming up tomorrow. Can't wait. Our last weekend with four games, but without some of those expected blowouts that can come with the wild card round, which we saw last weekend. Best game of this weekend should be Bills Chiefs. Kansas City trying to make it a third straight Super Bowl appearance. Josh Allen trying to show that he can win a big game. Where do Seahawks fans land on Niners Packers? Where are you on that one? Oddly, San Francisco's had their number, so we'll see if that can continue with a beat-up Jimmy Garoppolo playing in wind chill conditions below zero at Lambeau. Should be a good one. Rams and Bucks might be worse for me to try to figure out. Yes, we should all be rooting for Tampa to take out the NFC West brethren and make the Rams all-in approach look like a bust. But rooting for Bruce Arians is just going to be so hard for me. I just really, really can't stand him. And there you go. Those are the big three games that we should see this weekend. Is that...
I seem to be missing the biggest game of the weekend, but okay.
Oh, sorry, the first one they stick at the Saturday early
yeah,
time slot.
Most important one.
Bengals-Titans. Somehow Tennessee wound up with a bye, despite starting Ryan Tannehill a quarterback all year long. Lots of folks predicting an upset here, as the Cincy offense has certainly been humming recently. Does look like Derrick Henry may be able to return for the Titans. We should have a more firm decision on that later today. As we said, one oddity to the start of the Seahawks offseason has been the upcoming changes to the defense, despite the offense probably being the more problematic unit this year. Finished the year 11th in points given up, but 16th in points scored. So why that focus on the D? Obviously a few things. They made their coaching change offensively a year ago. I think it's time for that unit. Kind of need the opportunity to come together. And then obviously you have the Russ injury, which just seemed to zap them of their strength. We should talk, though, throughout this offseason about changes they can make offensively, whether it's playing in preseason games, getting back to some of that Russell Wilson dual threat action, or some of the personnel decisions that they may need to make along the offensive line and at tight end. Strange situation in Arizona. Yesterday, we played you Gambo's rant. He's the afternoon host down there in Phoenix, about their just pitiful, pathetic loss on Monday night. Then we heard reports of a tense meeting between the owner, general manager, and Cliff Kingsbury. Now reporters lining up to say there was no meeting, and you thought that we had some drama here. Apparently things could be worse.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, it's somewhat sad that the scheduling of a meeting counts as news, let alone good news, but I think that's kind of where we're at right now as it relates certainly to this lockout. Players are expected to meet with the owners on Monday and bring their counterproposal to that meeting. Sounds like good news, according to John Morosi.
This next counter from the players is going to be pivotal, and according to reports, we're expecting that to happen early part of next week on Monday. And so we will see how closely this next offer comes into the direction of MLB. And I would caution everybody that if it does not resemble a lot of progress, to not despair. These things do take time.
Yeah, they do. I'm glad that they're meeting in person. It's one of those stories where it's hard for me not to think with my heart, because all I want is for them to work this thing out so we can get started with Mariners baseball. But the issues they have to work through are legitimately complex, important. The two sides are still incredibly far apart. But all of that said, they can't bridge the gap without these meetings. So I'm glad to see that they're getting together on Monday. Hopefully things go well. I should also say that the excitement about this season starting is predicated on the rest of the offseason happening first. So I can't wait for that also. So far, the biggest loss of this lockout is just that big old moratorium on the most important offseason the Mariners maybe have ever had. So yeah, let's get that thing started again so we can find out who's going to play third base on opening day. Other baseball news, league has officially rejected the Rays' plan to split time between Tampa and Montreal. Duh. They'll now look to find a new home in Tampa before considering other cities, Nashville and Vegas, believed to be at the top of baseball's list.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
An honest-to-goodness win streak for the Kraken. They take care of San Jose last night, 3-2. Got down a goal just 38 seconds into the game. You had to wonder if they were going to lay down and die. But instead, they had one of their more inspired performances of the year. Carson Soucy evened it up, and then a few minutes later, he had the go-ahead goal.
Carson Soucy moved in. Anticipated that. Look out. Here's a chance. A shot. They score! Slid him off the ice. As the Kraken circle and prey on a
Yeah, it was a good goal from Susie, and Yarncroke ended up having the third. Nice night for the Kraken. Maybe the best part of it was a good bout between the captain, Mark Giordano, and Adam Raska. It was just good to see a player in this team step up, help his teammate, take matters into his own hands, and throw some punches. I enjoyed that. NBA action. Not sure what's going on with the Warriors. They fall again, this time in overtime, to Indiana despite 30 points from Steph Curry. They've lost six of their last nine. Phoenix takes care of Dallas and New Orleans over the Knicks. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour.
Starting to believe G. Scott on whoever Russell Westbrook plays for doesn't win anything. Somehow that's been
he
going.
He just got benched, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I figured he'd bring that up to him today.
He may. Although, I don't know, he's not looking great on the OBJ prediction right now. I mean,
yeah,
he's
true. That was
done some things.
I was going to follow it up with, but
that may be on our list. We can talk defense coordinator. We'll talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and of course fragrance when G joins
yes,
us.
Yes, of course.
Coming up here in about 40 minutes.
Are you more discouraged by? Well, first of all, we don't know what came out of the last meeting with the players' union and MLB, right?
Well, we know that they made their proposal, right? The owners made their proposal. And by all accounts, it was friendly. I mean, it was amicable. Okay. And the players, you know, essentially said, okay, thanks.
Got it.
And I think it was, my guess is it was more of a presentation of the proposal than it was a back and forth negotiation.
Okay. So is that what this one may set up to be then?
Yeah, I think this is essentially, and this is, I'm not an insider on this, but my understanding of it is, yeah, all right, here's your, thank you for your proposal. Here's ours.
Got it.
We hear you. And this is what we are now proposing in return.
Okay.
So we'll see where it goes and whether there's any give from the players, whether there's anything about the owner's proposal that they want to build on or latch on to. Look, anybody who's done any negotiation, I mean, they can start. There's a lot of different ways to play it when you are already sort of at odds with the other side. Yeah, it can start really messy and as far apart as you want and then eventually kind of work towards the middle. The thing is, and hopefully this is our hope, is that because there's a time limit on here that neither side wants to go past, right? The players want to get paid, and the owners don't want to miss paychecks and revenue coming in because of the lost revenue over the last couple of years because of COVID. So nobody wants to go past that deadline if they can avoid it. Hopefully that common desire to get something done is enough to overcome some of the massive gaps between the two sides here.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, I like Morosi saying, it's like, hey, don't be discouraged if nothing, you know, just doesn't, Monday, it's over. But it's hard when we're getting this close to February to not believe that it's going to be delayed by several weeks.
Yeah, Andrew Brandt, we've had on the show before. He's a business expert guy for the NFL, used to be an agent, used to work in a front office. And he says, and he's not the only one who says it, but I always think of him whenever I hear it, deadline spur action.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And until you actually come up against a hard deadline in negotiations like this, nothing happens because both sides think they can leverage that final deadline to get the absolute best deal they can. And so deadlines spur action. We're not at a deadline yet. We won't be here for a little while. And until we get to one, you're probably not going to see anything that looks like a deal. But the fact that they're not publicly trying to kill each other at the moment, I'll take it as a good sign, I guess. As I said, I'm thinking with my heart here more than my head because I just really want this thing to get done because I want to go watch Mariner baseball. I want to talk about what they're going to do to finish out this offseason. I want to see what the rest of their offseason plan looks like, whether through free agency or the trade market, et cetera. There's so many interesting things left for them to do before we even see them on the field. And then I want to see Julio. And then I want to see what Kelnick has done after the offseason. And then. So, yeah, let's get this thing figured out so we can move on. As I said, best weekend of the year if you're a football fan is generally the divisional round of the playoffs. We've got picks, specific picks for all four games. They will be bold, and I will probably embarrass myself as usual next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yeah, usually the best weekend of the football season is divisional round of the playoffs. Obviously, you get down to four teams next week, which is great. But you only get two games. You just get Sunday. This is your last weekend of Saturday and Sunday action, four games all by themselves in their own window, right? It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's the best. I love Saturday football so much.
I used to love, in my pre-kids days, my favorite was the Saturday night divisional round game. That's the best, man.
Okay.
It's led to some epic nights and epic games. I mean, obviously, in my life, the Snow Bowl is probably one of the better nights of my life, not to just because, well, it was my first date with my wife that day earlier in the day. She doesn't call it a date, but it was a date, despite whatever she will have you believe. If you talk to Heather, don't let her fool you into thinking it wasn't a date.
Is it a definition thing?
I mean, we'd known each other for years. She invited me to go to a hockey game with her. We saw the Kings and Islanders at the Staples Center. And later that day, she dropped me off, and I watched the game by myself. We talked later, and then 2 weeks later was the Super Bowl night. We both had consumed a couple of beverages, and we ended up making out on a dance floor publicly, and we've been together ever since. So 20 years coming up this February 3rd. Shout out to Heather. Well, these things happen. Sometimes you're, so you know, funny. 24 years old or whatever we were, and you know, things get away from you a little bit. But the point is, she asked me out on a date, and don't let her tell you that she asked my ex-girlfriend before me. It may be true, but it does not change the fact that it's a date. So anyway, she will disagree, and please don't play this for her. And if you know her, don't tell her I talked about this, because she will get mad at me. Like, actually, legitimately might not talk to me for the rest of this weekend mad at me. All right. With the divisional weekend upon us, we've got picks for all four games. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Last week, I took a couple of L's, but this week I'm going to be perfect, I think, with my predictions. Where should we start? Cincinnati, Tennessee. It's first game of the weekend.
Best game of the weekend.
Right. I hate this pick because the Titans do feel like a little one and done to me. But 43 years of life tells me to pick against the Bengals whenever the chance arises. So I will go Tennessee 38-34. Derrick Henry rushes for 185 yards. Ryan Tannehill throws for 300. Bengals offense does its thing, but its defense isn't able to contain the Titans.
You said 38-34?
Yeah.
Okay, high scoring. Okay, well, anybody who says this is like a lock for the Titans is has either A, not watched either of these teams all year.
It's true.
Or for most of your life. Because I mean, also,
isn't that most people?
Two of the four wins that the Jets have came against the Titans and the Bengals. Also, the Titans and the Bengals beat the Chiefs.
Anything could happen.
Anyway, yeah. Any weekend. So I'm going to say that since he puts up a couple field goals early, Titans run away with it. Joe Cool returns for a fourth quarter comeback against the ugliest uniforms in sports. They win 31-30.
Oh, you think the Titans are the ugliest uniforms?
Two-tone blue. Get out.
They're not good. It's awful. Agree with that. And it's so sad because the Oilers were so great.
They're like so similar to the Kraken.
It's not as good, though. It doesn't work for them the same way. It looks great on the Kraken. It doesn't look good on the Titans.
Okay.
I'm out on it.
But it looked great. The old Oilers, fire. And one of my favorite uniforms.
And that stadium's a dump, too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it at all. First of all, Nashville is a very fun town. I want to make sure that I don't put this on Nashville. But 31-30, okay. I'm going hard over a head pick, obviously, here. But
Maura?
I'm sorry,
break the tie.
Justin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want your Bengals to win, but I picked the Titans in the bracket I already did. I just Ryan Tannehill has actually been playing pretty well. Over the final 3 weeks of the regular season, 79.4 QBR, third best in the NFL.
Who's first and second?
Is Burrow up there?
I think Burrow was second.
When Tannehill was a rookie.
No, Burrow's been playing well. I think the Titans have a better defense.
I do too.
No, of course they do.
Much better.
Yeah.
And I think they got a better coach. So you kind of put it all together.
But it also is a huge question mark on Derrick Henry, which we'll know later today.
Yeah. That will definitely affect the way I view
Dante Foreman's
game.
Been running the ball well for them in his place. So even if they only use Derrick Henry a little bit and they have Foreman.
All right, we got to move on because this is the least interesting of all of these games. I'm spending too much time on it. All right. Niners, Packers. Packers win big. I know the Niners clip them and their physical styles has been like kind of a challenge for them, for the Packers. But come on. You're going to pick Jimmy G? Even not injured, I couldn't pick Jimmy G against Aaron Rodgers. Plus, he's hurt. Are they going to bring in Trey Lance? He's a pick machine. He's not ready for this.
He has an injured thumb and shoulder, and it's supposed to be 15 degrees with a negative 5 wind chill.
So here's my prediction. Jimmy G throws two picks, has to come out of the game because he's hurt. Lance throws two more. Debo does nothing as a running back in this game, even though I love him. As the Packers prep for, he seems to have one move. You give it to him, and he immediately cuts it back. So they're going to be ready for that this time. Rodgers goes 22 of 26 for 320 yards and two touchdowns. There's your game.
Wow. Okay. Aaron Rodgers had an insane year. I'm not talking about what he did on the field, but he only threw four picks this year, so we know that. But his 11-9 playoff record tells a different story. So I'm not just going to be like, it's obvious.
That's a good point.
So
he quit in the last game again. Last time he played the Niners in the playoffs, he straight up quit.
I'll be the dummy to pick one of my least favorite teams beating another one of my least favorite teams by a Robbie Gould field goal. 2017, Niners.
I'll be rooting for that. I'll be rooting for the Niners.
Good.
More break the tie.
I don't agree with what you said about Debo. The Packers have been susceptible in their run defense. And they do get Za'Darius Smith back, I think, this game.
He's pretty good.
So that will help. But, yeah, I'm with you. I can't. I mean, but this was the reason I picked against them last week, and I was wrong. But I just think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to blow it.
Yeah.
The Packers are not the Cowboys. And that, I don't think the weather helps. So
yeah.
Bills and Chiefs. Now we move to Sunday. I say Chiefs in a close game. Maybe a comeback after another slow start. We see that from them sometimes. I know everyone's slobbering all over the Bills right now, but let's see them repeat it. Let's see them do it 2 weeks in a row. The Chiefs are battle-tested. They got the better quarterback. They're at home. I think Josh Allen does play well. I'll give him that. But throws a key pick or a big fumble or turnover of some regard late in the game, and the Chiefs find a way to win. Come back and win.
I think whoever wins this game wins the Super Bowl. So it's really who doesn't give the ball away. If the Chiefs did a lot this season. So I'm going Bills, Josh Allen. I want to watch Salk melt into a shame puddle next week.
That'll be awful. All right. Finally, Rams and... Oh, Maura, you need yours. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm going Bills, too. I think their defense is just better. The Chiefs' defense has been improved, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop. Josh Allen running is going to hurt them.
Text message here says, Salk's getting as much wrong as Clayton these days. That's happy.
You're on the chalk line.
Put me there with the professor, man. Me and the prof together. All right, finally, Rams and Bucks. I hate myself, but I may have been swayed by the Rams win on Monday. Do we have to pick this one? I hate this game.
This was the hardest one for me.
It's more that they have the one antidote to Brady and the Bucks. It's like an active defensive line that can push them around and be a bully at the line of scrimmage. I just think they get to Brady too many times, sack him, et cetera. And as much as I don't like Matt Stafford and don't believe in him, and I can't imagine, it's hard for me to fathom Matt Stafford beating Tom Brady in a playoff game. I don't know that I can even say those words aloud and not like spontaneously combust. But I do think the Rams have a better overall team, especially defensively.
What's the score?
I'm taking the Bucks. I can't do it. I can't take Matt Stafford over Tom Brady.
I agree with you.
I just can't do it. I've got to take the Bucks. Every single fiber of my being says the Rams win this game, except that it's Brady and Stafford, and I got to go with Brady.
Heart tells me not to bet against Brady, of course, but my head says the Rams outmatch them. If the Bucks O-line's missing one or two starters, which it looks like they might be right now too, Donald and Vaughn make it a long, slow tablet-tossing day for Brady. Rams win comfortably 28-17.
Oh, wow. All right, I'm with you. I can't pick Matt Stafford over Tom Brady. I think that you're right. This defense is going to give Brady some trouble. He's when they bring pressure like that, he has had some, it'll be a long day.
Can they run on the Rams more?
In two games that they've played each other, Jalen Ramsey has, when he's on, Mike Evans has only allowed him to be 5 of 9 for 54 yards.
Yikes.
So that's rough. But they have a good run game. They also have a good run
defense.
Can
they run on the Rams? Because that's what you got to do. You got to be physical and run at the Rams. Can they do that?
I think they can. And they have Fournette back this week, too. And then I don't think that the Rams will have much success running against the Bucs.
I would agree with
that. So that means it's all on Stafford.
Okay, good.
And I don't, I can't pick him.
All right, there we go. We're all taking the Bucs, except for Justin.
I mean, I'm just going with the odds here.
Okay, so what are our official picks as a team here? Just so I know, we've got, we're going Tennessee.
Yes.
We went Packers.
Packers.
We went Bills. You guys went against me there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went Bucks. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. We'll see how this goes, and I'm sure there will be L's to be taken.
So we're going all chalk, as you say?
I think we are. Yeah.
Weak.
Don't like that. I don't like that. Not done then well.
Sucker pick.
I don't like that. I was going to go against
chalk. Going all chalk would only get you one wrong last week.
I know. It's true.
But we got two because you guys picked the Cardinals.
All right. We
got
to talk to Brock. He had a huge night last night. Well, at least his family did. So we'll talk to Brock about that. Plus, I want to ask him about this offense thing that I was discussing earlier. That's coming up next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a Brenner.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Is this Haley Huard's dad I'm talking to?
Well, good morning, Michael. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It was a pretty fun night.
How good was she last night?
Pretty fun night, man.
Draining three. Hit her first five threes for Montana, mm-hmm. The Lady Grizz.
Lady Grizz.
And a big win, a breakout performance for Haley.
Lady
18
Grizz.
18 points.
Go Lady Grizz.
I mean, go Haley Huard.
pretty fun, man.
So were you guys all watching? So when that happens, are like, is the whole family watching, all four of you watching her at
home?
Well,
a little different night last night. Oh, okay. I had to drop Titus off at coach's house. He has late baseball this year, 7:30 to 9:30 in the bubble. So had to drop him off so I could get home. The nice thing is the Big Sky, kudos to them, partnered with ESPN Plus.
So right.
Every game I can watch on my TV.
It's awesome.
Yeah, just go to Xfinity and just plug it in there and got it right there, the app. So it's like watching the game right on TV. And cool. So I'm home. Molly flew out there yesterday morning.
Oh, nice.
Little girls weekend.
So Haley did all that in front of mom?
In front of
mom. Oh, wow. That kind of breaks my theory that getting away from you and Molly has been really great for Haley.
It's been great for her. She's just doing awesome. She's blossoming. And then, you know, Macy's got a chem test. She's running around. I'm on the couch. You know, I'm going crazy. I'm pausing it. Macy, come here! So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty neat stuff.
You once referred to me as being sort of like a virus. I thought you would like this review I got on Apple Podcasts. It says, I can't stand Salk, but I have to listen. He's like that wart that I constantly pick at, but he gets all my attention.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
Here I am. I'm like a wart.
That's what you want. That's what you want to be in radio, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the great Rick Scott told us a decade ago?
You gotta
have your roles.
That's his real name.
Got to develop. I don't know. Walter, right. William, whatever. You got to have your roles, your characters, and you got to stay steady and consistent.
Yeah,
I'm
like a wart that you just can't wait to pick at. Yeah, you can go to Apple Podcasts, though, and download the podcast every day. Subscribe to listen to your favorite wart.
Can I just say this lastly about, you know, we'll get to the NFL and whatever other directions you want to get. I did, and I tweeted this last night. It's come to my feeling, and I don't know, maybe just because she's not under our roof anymore. You do, and I know that there's going to be parents, and you're getting down this road, right? You've got a daughter that's in drama, another one's soccer player, one's a golfer.
It's not even 8 o'clock. I don't want to cry yet.
Okay, but no, you're going to get here where you realize, like, man, you just ride the roller coaster, right? And when you were playing and competing, and even watching Molly in college, when she was playing and competing, it was still like tunnel vision, blinders. You're just playing, right? You're just going to grind, just going to get through it, right? All these players that we talk to, coaches that you talk to, all this stuff that we do. But as a parent, man, you are just on the roller coaster ride through the ups and the downs, and the ups and the downs. And as I am getting older, I appreciate last night way more than I ever would have 10 years ago.
I will tell you a funny story about that off the air. But
okay.
It's not worth it. Everyone else doesn't need to hear this story. It's not that good a story, but you will laugh about it.
Oh, good.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk a moment of Seahawks, and then hopefully we can quickly get to the games this weekend. How much attention? We've been talking a lot about the defense, obviously, with the coordinator, et cetera. How much attention legitimately needs to be paid to the offense this offseason? Obviously, they were the worst unit, and yet it feels like they're closer to being ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because Rashad Penny exploded at the end of the year. The offensive line found themselves. Now, the O-line, Mike's got three pieces that are free agents. So I don't think Brandon Schell, I think Kurhan did as good a job, if not better, than Schell near the end of the year. So I don't know if that's a move you have to make. Posick certainly found himself. And then obviously Dwayne Brown is a guy that you've gone back and forth with. And I would still like Dwayne here. I think Andrew Whitworth is 3 or 4 years older and still shows you how important that experience is there. So, you know, I think figuring that out, I think I saw Jake Heaps respond to your 5-point plan and said, hey, you know, we need at least 1 point on offense. You need at least a few things going in that direction.
And I didn't disagree, by the way. I just made a 5-point plan to fix the defense. So you didn't need to put the offensive line on that list.
I think the most important point on offense is what Ethan Posick said in the locker room the day after the season ended. That might be the most single
show up at OTAs.
You know, maybe at the start of lifting and conditioning, you know, in the second week of April, which, by the way, Peyton Manning didn't miss one workout in his entire career.
That's why he's my favorite player of all time.
Yes. Yeah, right. That's why you love the Manning cast so much.
So good.
But and guess who else was there? Edrin and Marvin, and those guys all had to come along. Why? Because Peyton's there.
Yeah.
Peyton could have said, I'm good. I'll see you at training camp, or I'll come to the mandatory camp as Russell did last year. That can't happen this year. And that group, and Posick said it, not me.
Yep.
Not you. Not any of us, hey, you got to practice. Coach is saying, I'm going to practice. So important.
I'm going to be so insufferable with this come May.
Yes.
I'm just going to be obnoxious.
Then maybe we should have practiced.
Maybe we should have been here.
Maybe a new system, new language, new verbiage. Maybe we should have practiced. Maybe we should have played in the preseason.
All right, we only have a minute, Brock. Okay. We got to get to the slate of games this weekend. What game do you feel most secure in the outcome? What game is the biggest toss up?
Oh, I think I feel most secure with Green Bay beating San Francisco in this round at home. In that just weather, and Jimmy Garoppolo's got a hurt shoulder, he's got a hurt thumb, he's got a hurt ego, and you know, Bosa's coming off a concussion, they're just beat up. It feels like that was a great win out on the road in Dallas last week, but I don't think you gird your loins and get totally healthy. I think it'll be competitive, and they can rush four, and if they rush four and impact Aaron, it could be a game, but that would be the one I feel the most secure at night in Green Bay in this round, picking the Packers.
Agreed. How about the least secure? What could go any direction?
Kansas City, Buffalo.
Right.
And that's going to be awesome. That's going to be bonkers. I mean, that is going to be so much fun to watch those two at the QB position go at it, but there's so many good players, talented players in Buffalo, and man, can you imagine if they can do this and get this done and win this game? Tennessee's intriguing. I mean, all four of these, after last weekend, give me three compelling games going to the fourth quarter.
Give me three great games, and obviously Tennessee will blow out Cincinnati, and we'll be good to go.
I don't know about that now. I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm just giving Justin a hard time.
Burrow's pretty good.
I know you can't see colors because of your color blindness, but the Bengals do have the ugliest uniforms in sports, right? We can agree on that.
Wyoming football?
Oh, those are kind of like cool and ugly, though. Like the Wyoming football. Yeah, I do. I kind of like them in their, like the yellow and brown thing. I kind of like that, actually. I give them some credit. Like, it's ugly on purpose, and I can kind of, that's sort of how I view myself. So, it kind of works out.
Oh, you're kind of a wart.
It's me. A big, ugly wart. Hopefully not one of those planter's warts. You ever had a planter's wart?
Disgusting. I think so.
Yeah. They grow roots inside your foot. Ooh. Grossest thing you've ever seen, man. Don't get one of those if you can avoid it.
All right, we're out of time.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Brock. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye. From planter's warts to high fashion and even more so high fragrance. G. Scott, our fragrance expert, will join us coming up next. What kind of award am I? I can barely even talk. It's next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.